In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, there was Paul Brown.
Paul Brown transformed the game.
Hello, Paul Brown here. Welcome to the first ever International Browns Podcast.
Good morning, Cleveland. We're on the penultimate episode of Jack's three-year look ahead, looking at different roster rooms and different positions. So we started with the quarterback. We've done the running backs. We did the tight ends, then the wide receivers, or it might have been the other way around. Go check them out. They're all there. Every week, I drop a different show. And I've broken the O-line into two. We're just going to focus on offensive tackles today. And that's because there's quite a lot to discuss. So I'm going to do that. And then next week, I'll come back and do the O-line, the interior O-line. So guards and centers. But no, we're going to go through them and just sort of have a look at where we're at. It's the three-year look ahead. And I repeat it every week. Just for anyone that's just dropping in for one. If you are dropping in for the first one, I'd recommend go back and follow them through. The reason we do 3 years is because that's what teams are looking at. John Dorsey does interviews. Several GMs do. They always talk about 3 or 4 years. I've always gone 3 just because it's a lot easier. And 4 years is obviously such a long way away. But no, we're doing 3 years just looking at sort of where the team's at in terms of cap. Are these players likely to stay? Are they likely to move? What sort of the commitment to them? So we'll start with those on the roster. We'll then look at those who are on IR, and then we'll look at those that are, we're still paying for them, but they're no longer on the team. So we'll start with the most expensive this year, and that is Chris Hubbard, who is playing right tackle, 28 years old. He's got another 4 years on his deal, but all the guarantees more or less end this year. To cut him after this year is $2.4 million in dead cap and a saving of $4.9 million. So $7.3 million cap number this year, $7.3 million next year, $7.8 million the year after, $8.3 million the year after that. So it's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on of, do they potentially hold him around until camp next year? It's going to depend what they do on the draft and other things, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see him potentially hanging around. And that's not as a long-term commitment to him, but it's one that they keep him here just to see what they've got elsewhere before making any other moves, and then cut down day. Potentially he's out the door sort of a week before that. Maybe someone might trade for him, but I think it's going to be a cut and someone will then just pick up him on free agency to stash in a roster. Maybe a sort of a third swing tackle, which is sort of where his level's at. If he was sort of signed to a swing tackle deal, then he'd be staying and that would be fine. He's not playing to $7.3 million worth of value. Just flicking over to PFF, he's got 54.5 grade this season, which is dire. So yeah, he will not be a starter with the Browns next year unless something miraculous happens. So he's in his final year. I don't think it's going to be an off-season move, though. I think it's going to wait till right the last minute. And that's just to give us options, because most teams will sort of carry, say, 3 tackles, your left, your right, and your swing tackle. I'm always a fan of keeping that 4th, but that's one to see with what they do. I think he will stay on the roster just as that option, but I'll be surprised if he's here week 1 of the season next year. He is a goner. The next one is flip over to left tackle. It's Greg Robinson, who's on a 1-year deal that pays $7 million in total. If it all gets paid, which I think he will. We're just looking at things like weigh-in bonuses and stuff like that. There was never really too much came out once he re-signed. Was it straight on the same deal? Did they potentially move those weight bonuses into guarantees? Who knows? But yeah, here for this year, and then he's gone. He is not hanging around. He'll hit free agency. He'll be 27, I believe, when he hits free agency. And that's sort of the time he wants to go get paid. Good luck to the guy. But that place is not here. Yeah, he turns 27 in a couple of weeks, 21st of October. So he'll get paid. But yeah, good luck to the guy. Not here. He's not been good enough. He is better than Chris Hubbard, according to PFF. He's coming in at 69.3. But we need a long-term investment there at the position. There's lots of chat about sort of trading for Trent Williams. That is not a solution to anything. We're not in a, we must win the Super Bowl this year or this whole roster's falling apart. So ignore the idea of trading for Trent Williams. That's not happening unless sort of insanity runs through the front office, which would not be good for the long-term future of this team. So it's one that this stuff is getting addressed in the off-season. Who's going to be sort of those three tackles? That's what I'm going to focus on. We might carry a fourth, but let's just work on left, right, and swing. No, we'll see where we're at. But yeah, I think Hubbard hangs around until sort of the end of training camp, whereas Greg Robinson is an early cut. Not cut, he's just contracts out and he'll go somewhere else. We're not going to give him a long-term deal. He's not playing well enough to earn big bucks, but someone's going to pay him. And good luck to whoever that team is. If he wanted to sign another deal like he's got now, say $7 million with only $500,000 guaranteed, I would love to do that deal again, because I'd happily move straight on from the Hubbard and then leave Greg Robinson as the option because his play is slightly better and obviously comes on the left side. But ideally, you just move on from each of them and work towards two new tackles week one. Kendall Lamb is the third name that's on the active roster. Swing tackle, coming in, doing his job. He's got a two-year deal. Will he be around next year? Who knows? This injury has more or less robbed him of all his playing time. And it would have been a really nice opportunity for him to come in and play. I think his numbers were quite solid last year. But yeah, it's not one we're really going to get a flavor for. So he will be here at the start of next season. So just looking at PFF Cleveland Browns at PFF underscore Browns, former Texan and new Browns tackle Kendall Lamb, 75.2 pass blocking grade in 2018, ranking him 32 of 69 qualifiers at the position. So I think you've got a fantastic potential for him to remain as that sort of swing tackle for the team. So yeah, keep an eye on him just to hang around the team. Next year, you're looking at $2.8 million, only $300,000 to cut. Stays on the team. And yeah, good luck to the guy. I think he's solid and gives us that option there. You don't want him to be a starter, but if someone goes down, he's going to come in and do a respectable job for that sort of offensive tackle depth. Good luck to him on his recovery from injury. The next name is Drew Forbes, who's on IR. Obviously, there was the move around with Greg Robinson where we cut him and then re-signed him. The reason it's him and not any of the rookies is because he doesn't have to go through waivers, so another team can't pick him up. So it was just a procedural move. As many people reported at the time, Jason Fitzgerald over the cap is a great one to keep an eye on because straight away he saw what was happening and was able to tweet that out. So yeah, Drew Forbes got another 3 years tied into his deal. He's only 22, so he's a kid. And yeah, let him develop. Will he play tackle? Will he be interior? I really don't know. The team are going to try him at tackle. But I've got a feeling his future might go inside. But Campen will work his magic, and I trust wherever Campen decides to play him. Yeah, keep an eye on him wherever he slots in. If they get someone they love at left guard, there is always the option of moving Betonio out to left tackle. Not going to touch too much on Betonio because we'll cover that when we do the interior. But that is a player that potentially could be the left tackle solution if they can't find someone they like. Did a good job when he's gone out and played there. So, yeah, potentially an option on the table. But Drew Forbes will definitely be here next year. Lock that name into the roster. Whether it's interior or left tackle, no one knows yet, but he is a name that will be around. My gut says more likely to be interior, but I would love to be proved wrong. If he can come in and develop, then him, Kendall Lamb, he gives us some room. So I'll just discuss who's on sort of the dead cap list before we discuss sort of options out there for the offseason. So Sean Coleman, left tackle, still has some dead cap on his deal. So we're paying him 200 grand this year in dead cap. So, yep, that's getting billed against us. That's just part of because we drafted him. He's now obviously at the 49ers. And then the next name is Rod Johnson. So, yeah, there's a small cap hit on him as well. This one's smaller. It's 130,000. So, yeah, he's getting paid this year. Tiny. Good luck to both them players. Obviously, loads of players get drafted in the league and never hang around and make it. But just looking at our options. So we need a left tackle. We need a right tackle. Two biggest needs going into this offseason on the team. We can look at other places, but certainly in terms of the offense, quarterback locked in, running back locked in, wide receivers locked in. There's going to be options there, but something needs to happen. Tight end, number one's locked in. We need some depth. If we look at the O-line, the dire need is a left and right tackle. And that, for me, you're probably going to see the Browns take a first round offensive tackle. Hopefully it's not a case of a name gets snatched right before us. We've seen teams where they get in their head that they have to take an offensive tackle. It might be worth potentially trading up a couple of spots if there's a name we love. It's going to depend where we're drafting. Look to other people to give you them names for who's going to be them guys to grab near the time. I'm not a draft nut. I'm a cap nut and a roster construction nut. They're the two things I look at. And they are different for anyone thinking roster construction is all about cap. Cap's about roster construction. The two go hand in hand, but it's very different decision-making plays. But we're going to have to draft them. Offensive tackles are incredibly expensive in free agency. We do not want to be looking in free agency for any solutions. You look at some of the names. Nate Solder is not performing well, went for big money. Brown went for insane money, not performing great. And if we just look at some of them, they're old, they're past their best. We don't want to be getting a tackle that's in their 30s. It's not a one-year sticking plaster. We need sort of a long-term solution. So, yeah, we shouldn't be looking in free agency for these guys. We need to draft them. So out of our first four picks in the first three rounds, I would more or less bank on two of those being O-linemen, potentially O-tackle, offensive tackles. So that's where the main fix is going to come. And if you've got Lamb, if you've got Forbes, then it might be a case of there isn't someone they go out and sign in free agency. Wouldn't surprise me if they go and find some maybe depth players in there. You have obviously Kendall Lamb we picked up. There might be another one they go out and fetch, or there might be a late round pick they add as well to the room and really just drive as much talent in there as possible. But I think we see two offensive tackles, and the draft is the direction to fix it. And if you can draft two offensive tackles, just looking at sort of some of these contracts they're getting at the minute, most of them that are any decent are on 10 million plus a year. Left tackle, right tackle is growing on the fastest growing cap positions, I believe. And sort of you're seeing an increase in spending, especially at the top of it in free agency. But you're looking above 8 million at right tackle. We don't have that money to then throw around on those positions when we've got other people like Myles Garrett, who's going to potentially get paid this offseason. So, no. The investment's got to come through the draft. It's got to be assets and it's going to be picks. So expect to see some O-linemen in the draft this year. It's not a sexy position. Don't get too overexcited. You're not going to sit there and watch tape and go, this is the guy that's going to change our team, but they're going to come in and do a job. So yeah, go follow some great people on Twitter who cover offensive tackle play, especially around the time of the draft. They're the people you want to keep an eye on. So yeah, that's another episode from me. As always, it's at Jack Duffin on Twitter, JACKDUFFIN. I'm always happy to answer cap questions, anything like that. Some of you guys regularly slide in my DMs or just tag me into stuff asking for any information. I'm here to help out. I'm happy to answer questions. Browns are in a solid position across most of the offense. We've just got to fix their offensive tackles and then everything will be a lot better. So keep the faith, guys. There's a lot of positive stuff there and we've got the picks to be able to go and use them and really build on that talent elsewhere. So signing off, guys. Have a good day. And remember, go Browns.